Welcome to episode 159 of the Daniel Yoris podcast with today's guest, Sachin Lathi. Let's go. Welcome back to the podcast, everybody. Joined here today by Sachin Lathi. Sach, thanks for being here, man. I appreciate your time. You are one of these people that it feels like you've lived 10 lives already. Is that an accurate thing to describe you?
I mean, man, it feels like it, sort of. Yeah. I mean, but I guess, you know, for me, that's feels like my life in general.
Yeah, it's actually a really interesting perspective, because to you, it's normal. It's just what you've been doing and what you've done. And yet to most other people, myself included, it's like, oh my goodness, how can one person even do all this in one lifetime? But to you, it's just normal. So that's a really interesting perspective.
Yeah, I mean, you know what it is, man? I think like a lot of people don't know how much they can actually do in a day. And I didn't know a few years ago, and I'm a little bit open to things now. So I kind of just keep doing things throughout the day, and I like to just keep doing things and learning things and having fun.
This is true. There's that quote that I think it goes something to the effect of, you know, we underestimate what we can get done in 10 years, but we overestimate what we could get done in a year, right? Where people will set this like very lofty, huge goal. Like this time next year, I'm going to be, you know, doing X, Y, Z. But if you give yourself a little bit of a longer time frame, like maybe you can actually achieve those longer goals. And maybe this is a good place to start, because you're setting out to accomplish a pretty huge goal next year, breaking the record running across Canada, which, by the way, I want to get into like why one would even want to do that. But like you didn't try and do that, like wake up one day and be like, oh, in 3 weeks, I'm going to run across Canada and break the record. So can you talk us through the process of setting that longer time frame and how you go about chunking out that gigantic goal into actually manageable pieces?
Mm-hmm. That's a good question, man. So just to start, usually when I set goals, I try to set them in ways that force me to grow. Mm. Right? So generally speaking, when I set a goal, it's usually quite large. Having said that, I think like, you know, about four or five years ago, I was going through my own personal issues, right? Like mental health issues, and 18 years in law enforcement, going through a divorce, like a whole bunch of stuff was kind of going on. And for me at the time, I was just trying to find ways to manage my mental health, and I started running, right? And I wasn't a runner. I just started running really three, four years ago. And so for me to hold myself accountable and for me to push myself, I have to set crazy goals so that I can hold myself accountable. And essentially that's kind of what happened. I was just starting in that space of running where I didn't really know much about anything. I didn't have any frame of reference. I didn't understand what was a good time, what was, you know, not. And so really that first year of me running was me learning and understanding myself in relation to running. And then it eventually got to a point where I saw some progress. I saw some sort of forward momentum. And then I heard a podcast with Cameron Haynes on it, ultra endurance athlete, runs 100 milers, 200 milers. And when I heard that, I didn't even know that was a thing. Like I was so new to that. I didn't even know that space existed. I didn't know that people actually did those things. So then I got curious. And as I got curious, I got excited because I was like, man, I want to do that. That's what I said to myself. And what I didn't know at the time was how much work it was needed to be able to do something like that, like run 100 miles or 100K or whatever it is. Now, through that process of learning about running and testing myself each week with certain things to see how much I could do, I got to a point where I was like, you know what? I heard this podcast with Cam Haynes. He said he was running a marathon a day in preparation to run a 200-mile race. I was like, man, it'd be cool to run a marathon a day. Like, how could you do that?
Yeah.
So then I set up a plan to run a half marathon a day in February of 2021. Because like a marathon was just so out of my wheelhouse. It was so unfathomable. I was just like, okay, maybe I can do half marathon. Maybe. And at that time, it was, I got to a point where I was able to run about 10K a day. in and around there. And I was like, okay, let's try this out. And so what I did was I set a plan. Each week I would progressively increase my kilometers by 1 kilometer each week. So I started at 11, next week 12, 13, and so forth until I got to 21. And when I got to 21, that's where it all clicked. I was like, oh man, I never thought in a million years I could run a half marathon a day, work full time, be a father, and take care of a dog and all these things and still run, train jiu-jitsu and lift weights and run a half marathon every single day. And I was like, man, if I could do that, I can run across Canada. I immediately thought of Terry Fox because I thought he had the Marathon of Hope, running a marathon a day. And I started reflecting. I go, look, man, I'm a bit older than he was, but I'm able-bodied and I'm a pretty good athlete. And I have the luxury and the benefit of 40 years of performance science to kind of lean on.
Right.
So I thought, man, I could do that. Let me see if I can do that. And that's what started the process of thinking about running across Canada.
That's a wild leap of events. It's not somewhere that most people's minds would go. I mean, my mind certainly wouldn't go there. For me, and I don't know if you think that this is maybe something inherent in you, maybe because of your background with law enforcement and a, dare I say, more extreme side of life as opposed to regular civilian life, if we will. But I would see someone like Cam Haynes. I think Cam Haynes is phenomenal. I've listened to him on a bunch of stuff. He's very inspiring, all that stuff. But I hear him saying, I run a marathon a day. And I'm like, wow, that's awesome for you, man. Like, that's not like, I guess I could do it if I wanted to, but like, I just have no desire to even attempt that. So what do you think it was that is the difference in that someone like me, who's like, cool, awesome, I'll cheer you on along the way, versus you, who's like, that's awesome, I'm going to do it. And I'm actually going to beat it.
Yeah. I think it comes with more of my upbringing and how I grew up and things of that nature, as opposed to career choice and law enforcement. I got a major imposter syndrome. Like, it's like next level. Like, I think I suck. Right. And I think I haven't even done anything already. Like, if you were to actually sit down with me and have a conversation, I'm like, yeah, okay. Leading up to when I ran 22 marathons in a row, I was like, okay, you know, let me do this thing. And I did it. And after I had done it, I was like, oh yeah, 22 marathons isn't that big a deal. I just did it. So that's how I think.
Okay.
Right. And now that might have come from, you know, being the younger of an older brother. It could have come from being bullied a ton growing up and wanting to prove myself. Like, so the maybe elements of this all kind of mixed together. And then, you know, coming from, you know, my father was a high achiever, my brother, a high achiever. So, you know, I wasn't achieving, at least in my opinion, I never thought I achieved anything at a high level. Because I never wanted to do anything at a high level. It was always like, I liked fitness. I liked working out. I liked those things, but I didn't know how I could kind of turn that into a life. Right. Mm-hmm. So anyways, having said that, I think once I found something that I can sink my teeth into and really grasp onto it. It's just, I kept driving forward. I mean, I think it comes down to like initially a sense of proving myself or wanting to show that I can do something.
Right, right. I mean, I think that we all have imposter syndrome to some extent, but when we look at like things that you've done, accomplishing, you know, 22 marathons in 22 days running across BC, like that is a feat that, has anyone else even done that?
I'm sure there's tons of people. Look, the cool thing about doing what I'm doing now is I'm in the space of finding savages.
Right.
I'm in the place of trying to find people who are doing crazy shit, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
And, you know, there's a lot of people out there that can do some cool things, like really cool things. Has someone run 22 marathons in a row? Yeah, there's probably a million people out there have done it. Have a lot of people run across the province of BC? Probably not. Right. Probably not. But right. Are there a ton of people that could? 100%.
Right. Sure. Sure. It's not that. Yeah. You hit these new levels when you level up. You like when you first started running, you know, a half marathon was, oh, this is a big deal. And then you get to it. And I think this happens at all stages of life. Everything seems like this insurmountable task or accomplishment. And then you get there and you're like, oh, hold on. I'm a human. I'm a regular person. I know that I myself am not some Superman, alien, freak, athlete, freak, intellectual, whatever. And so if I did it, then this must not be that big of a deal. And then you hit that next level, like, oh, well, I hit a half marathon. I can do a marathon. Oh, I can do a marathon. I can do a 100 miler. I can do the 100 miler. I can break the record, right? And it just keeps leveling up. And there's always going to be someone that's out there chasing your tail or better than you or something. But this is that constant pursuit of performance or self-improvement or something. But there's something deeper in you that is continuing to push that. And I mean, I think that you would agree with this, that we don't all need to, that's not the avenue for every single person, right? It's I think it's quite clear that everyone is not going to go out there and run across Canada and run 100-mile races and do all these things, but it's probably fair that we can all pursue something greater than what we think we are capable of.
100% agree. Look, all I'm doing is just trying to be the best version of myself, right? Mm-hmm. I'm not competing with anyone. When I first started this journey, that's how I thought though. Oh, I need to beat this guy, or I need to do this, or I need to do that. Or what's this guy doing? And you know, what I really started thinking and learning and understanding was, man, that's all a futile attempt, man. Cause I just started running. How can I compete with someone who's been doing it for 10 years? Mm-hmm. I just can't. But what I can control is my effort and how long I want to put that effort in to achieve a goal. And, that's essentially it, man. I want to see what I'm capable of. Not anyone else. And for me, because I've done, if I objectively take a step back and look at what I've done over the last 2 or 3 years, it's notable, right? For someone who hadn't ran since high school and now at the age of 46 is doing these things, that goes to show that anything is possible given enough time, effort, and how much time you want to put into something. Mm-hmm. And for me, it's just that, man. I want to be the baddest person I can be.
Right.
That's it.
Yeah. At the end of the day, these kind of things, it's really just a competition of you versus you. And everyone's trying to find new challenges and something that no one's done before. Like you said, the 22 marathons in 22 days in the grand scheme of these savage runners out there is not that crazy, but maybe no one's done it across BC. Maybe no one's done it in the middle of winter. Maybe no one's run, you know, some other terrain in Canada or in the US or some other place in the world that just hasn't been done before, right? I saw there was one guy, he was trying to, I'm going to badly butcher this, but he was trying to like walk across China or some area of China, and it was some very treacherous terrain and very, you know, dangerous, and I'm butchering the story badly, but I believe it was that. But anyways, the what it sounds like on paper is like, okay, he's traveling across X number of kilometers over X number of days. And that in and of itself is like, sure, I guess if you committed to that, like you could do it. Like, so what? It doesn't sound that big a deal. But then you start to look at the specific terrain, the weather implications that he's having, the crew that he has to have with him, you know, flying in and out. How do you get supplies into those areas? What's the wildlife situation like? What, you know, there's so many considerations. Like, oh yeah, no one's done it in that way before. That's probably the exciting part. Like, I can see your face is lighting up as we say this, and you're like, oh shit, that's cool.
Well, because it's in the time commitment, right? Like, I mean, look, man, I'm going to be running 60K a day for 52 days starting June. And that takes time. That takes, you know, look, so how many people can invest 2 months of their lives of just doing that thing? So not a lot of people have that luxury.
Sure.
I don't even know. Actually, you know what? To be fair, it's not my luxury. I have to figure out how I'm going to do it. Well, like everything else. But having said that, you know, that's, you know, it's time constraints, people wanting to do the thing, the logistics that are associated. And so that's one aspect. You're looking at the running. But now if you look at it from what I'm trying to do, like the running part's the easy part. The hard part is how do you connect with as many people as possible to raise awareness for a certain thing?
Right.
That's the challenging part. And how do you do all those things and create awareness and more a larger footprint for what you're trying to do? Those are the challenges that I'm trying to figure out. And, you know, they're awesome challenges because – I'm learning so much. Like now I've hired a PR firm. So now we've got a PR firm to help over the next little while to help expand the footprint. So these are all things that I never thought about before and all started because I wanted to just start running. And now I'm learning a shit ton of things that I never thought in a million years I could do or think of. And now I'm in a space where, oh yeah, I'm leaving my job of 18 years in law enforcement to do this full time. And, you know, will I make tons of money? Probably not, but I'll be happy doing exactly what I want to do and my bills will be paid for. So, you know, for me, I was looking for how to do that too. You know, how do I test myself? How do I live a life I want to live? How do I get to experience life and engage with a bunch of people? All of those things. And that's been the journey I've been on over the last 3 years, man.
It's a lot simpler to, you know, push yourself and get up and do the runs and do all the things you need to do, rather than, you know, trying to inspire millions of people, get the message out there, raise money, raise awareness, raise all of these things. Like when you're trying, we're going to talk about impacting other people, it's a way easier to impact yourself than it is to, impact others. And, you know, any coach of any kind will know that. So that's very impressive. I want to talk a little bit about some of the mental health aspects that started all this, because I know that is the basis of what you're trying to raise awareness for. Now, is there anything that you can think of or recall that, like, why was it running? Was it just that podcast with Cam Haynes? Was that the thing that, why not weightlifting? I know you've been into fitness and whatever, but why wasn't it a bodybuilding show or a powerlifting meet or a CrossFit or, I don't know, some other physical feat? Like, why running?
A couple of reasons. One is because it's freaking hard and it's the hardest thing for me. I remember when I was in high school, I was on the high school wrestling team and I was the worst runner on my team. So it was always something that I didn't want to do. And then when I used to compete in bodybuilding, I never did cardio, man. I was just like maybe walking on incline. Yeah, our elite last, right? It was no cardio. Yeah. So, you know, really I was scared of it. I didn't want to engage it. Number one. Number two, I know, or everyone knows what running is. So it's an instant connection. So if I say I'm going to run 100 kilometers, people know what that is. Like, they may not know really the details of how difficult, but think, okay, what? You did what?
Yeah.
So if I was saying I competed in bodybuilding, that's, you know, the grand scheme of things, no one gives a shit.
Yeah. Yeah. Right. Right.
And I'm a jiu-jitsu athlete. You know, I've been training jiu-jitsu for 6-7 years. Really, no one cares.
Yeah.
But if you can say running, you automatically can connect with people on multiple levels and perhaps create a community around it. So I think that's what started me on running. One was because I wanted to test myself. I wanted to do it because I sucked at it. And two, to connect.
So you had this idea of connecting, giving back from the get-go. Was that something that helped you get through your own stuff? Was that, hey, I'm going to do this and I'm going to get through it, but I'm also going to bring other people with me?
Yeah, man. Because, you know, what I started noticing by service, and like when I say service, I mean like sense, what kind of, like, you know, not expecting anything in return, right? So like just selfless service, right? When I started engaging in that process, I started seeing how that made me feel from a mental health perspective. And it made me feel like I wasn't thinking about my own problems.
Right.
Right. Right. And what's depression, man? Depression's reflecting on your past and regretting and all these types of feelings. And if you're in the moment helping somebody, you're not thinking about your shit. You're just thinking about, how do I help this person? And so that's kind of where it all started. And now I'm just trying to make it bigger.
Right. Yeah. I think that's very accurate, right? It's the best way to help yourself often is to help others. And I think fitness and any physical pursuit is a microcosm of this, where it's a physical distraction from the things that are going on or the things that happened. And so if you can kind of, you know, get into your body to get out of your head is a way to get through depression and mental health. And not that we're saying that this is the cure all, blah, blah, blah. We don't need to hear that. But like, it's one of the steps that can certainly help. And now there's certainly way more other ways that could possibly help, but that's definitely one of them. I think there's also extreme value in what you said, that you chose the hardest thing for you. Now, for someone else, running might be the easiest thing, and that's fine. But we often tend to push into our strengths, lean into our strengths. And so we'll say, okay, I want to get back on the horse. What do I do? Running, because I've always been a runner. And for someone, that might be great, but maybe we do need a little bit more challenge. And that thing that is just outside of your comfort zone that scares you just a little bit, but it's doable enough that you can at least get started. And you don't have to be the best runner, but you you are able to get going and then grow from there. But that's a really hard decision to make.
Yeah, it is, man. And I've done it a bunch of times, you know. I think, look, I could have very easily went back into bodybuilding and I probably would have done all right. I have a decent physique and my frame is pretty decent and I can get pretty shredded and, you know, doing classic physique or whatever. Like, I know I could have probably been okay.
Right.
But I wouldn't have learned anything. I would have been just True. Like doing the same thing over and over and over and over again. And I was kind of bored and sick of it, to be honest. Right. I've been there. I've done that 10 years. Right. I'm 46 now. Right. So, you know, it wasn't like I was going to get anything out of it. So when I was 39, I started jiu-jitsu for the very first time. And that got me excited and I was learning something new. Right. And I spent a lot of time in that space and I developed and, you know, I created new neural pathways in my brain. And I became more strategic, not yes. just on the mats, but just in life in general. And so I saw how that helped me. I saw how bodybuilding helped me because I learned a ton of stuff when I was competing and when I was training and all that kind of stuff. So when it came to running, I wasn't thinking, oh, I want to learn something at that time because I was in a bad spot mentally. I was just thinking, man, I got to do something, mm-hmm. right? And at the time, we were dealing with the pandemic. So I didn't have that many options. And I really hated it. So I was like, okay, let's do this. Now I have an opportunity for the first time in my life to actually spend some energy in a spot where I never really wanted to. Let's give it a go.
I think that the pandemic itself, for all of the negative things that have come from it, I think a lot of people have found running through the pandemic. And it sounds weird to say like, oh, running has exploded as if it's this like new, like trendy thing, but it seems like it's trendy, I guess, right now. A lot more people are running or talking about running a little bit more seriously now than I can recall in years past. And I think it's literally what you said is like people in COVID had nothing else to do. It's like, okay, my options are do another set of, you know, bodyweight squats in the kitchen with my backpack on, or like, let me go outside for a run and actually challenge myself. And I think that's why people have gone to that, because I think that, and I'm pretty sure you'll agree with me, that we inherently enjoy challenging ourselves and overcoming obstacles. And I think that that's something that we have to constantly seek out, because it's really hard to just go by not improving. And I think that what's the word, like status quo way of living, it seems okay at first, but then it really wears you down.
It does, man. Like, I mean, I was there a few years ago. I was like, man, what's left? What do we do? Mm-hmm. How do I develop? How do I, like 18 years in a job, I pretty much had it kind of, you know, I knew how to do my work. Right. So that was, I wasn't learning anything there. You know, when it came to fitness, like, you know, I thought I knew everything because I spent 10 years competing or in bodybuilding and nutrition and all this kind of stuff. And then jiu-jitsu for 5 years or whatever it was at that time. So I thought I had my stuff together. But what is, you know, I didn't. When it started running, and I think to your point, a lot of people are talking about running now. And I think part of it is the David Goggins effect, right? People want to be badasses and they want to do hard things. But I understand what that means a bit differently now, to do hard things. And the reason why I think it's really important to do hard things, and hard things for you as an individual, what that is, doesn't necessarily have to be physical, could be anything, right? It's because you learn. Right? I mean, you get better, right? So I think people are missing the boat why you're running and whatnot. Man, I run not for physical health because I'm already jacked and ripped and stuff. I don't need it for that.
Right.
I'm doing it for mental capacity, developing my mind, and showing others what's possible. Bro, I'm 46, man. I started running really seriously 2 years ago. And I just ran 22 marathons in a row. I'm about to run, 50 ultras in a row in this summer. And then I'm going to attempt to break a record to run across Canada, and which would be like 107 kilometers a day for 66 days. Like, that's ridiculous that when I just say it. But the reality is anybody can do that. Mm-hmm. Anybody can. I'm just the guy who decided that I wanted to do it.
Right, right.
That's it.
A very practical thing that I was thinking of. Why? What's the thought process behind doing it's from Thunder Bay to Victoria that you're going this summer, correct?
Yeah.
So that's like pretty well, like a good chunk. Is that over halfway across Canada? It's at least halfway. Why are you doing it that way and then the full way?
It's 3,100 kilometers. So we're still tentatively trying to figure that out. But the reason, okay. So last year when I did the 22 marathons was a training block, man. That's what
right.
it was.
Right.
It
wasn't. That makes sense. Yeah.
Yeah. It was a training block to get to that next level. And so I was talking to my running coach and we're talking about how do we get to that next level? We got 2 years. We got to break this record. What are we doing to get there? So training block, that's what that was. And I thought, okay, you know what? Since I'm going to be doing all this, why not raise money and awareness? So I just thought at the same time, raise awareness. Otherwise, I could have just ran them around my neighborhood and just ran around.
Right.
This year,
that'll get quite boring, though. How many laps around your own neighborhood would that be?
I mean, I could... it depends on how many I want to do, but just to answer that question, I'm still trying to figure out what to do logistically for this year. I am going to run 60K a day for 52 days. I'm just deciding if I'm going to do it from Victoria to Thunder Bay or if we're going to do a month within BC and then start heading over. Like logistically, I'm just trying to figure that out for cost purposes, right? Like for sure. It all costs money, right? But to answer your question, it's a training block. Again, this will be another training block to get me prepared to understand what issues that might come up, how to properly fuel my body for these kind of type of runs, you know, create training so much harder that when I do the event next year, it won't be as challenging for me mentally. So I'm trying to create opportunities or trying to create training blocks that are so hard that when I run across Canada, it's like, oh, cool, I've been here. It's all good. That's essentially what I'm doing.
Right. What were some unexpected things that you learned from running the 22 marathons in across BC? Both one. On the like the internal side of things and also on the very practical running side of things that you may have learned about yourself or felt or, you know, maybe didn't expect.
Yeah. I mean, day 15, I was feeling strong. Like I was starting to, the adaptation started taking effect. So I probably could have kept going like more than 22 days, mm-hmm. which was a good feeling to have. Mentally, man, I just transformed as a human altogether. Like before 22 marathons and after 22 marathons, I'm a different person. Really? Mentally, physically, spiritually, in every sort of metric you can measure, I'm different. And I don't know how to explain how I'm different other than that I have a level of peace that I haven't had before, in a sense that I've created built belief in myself that is unshakable almost. Like I was chatting with someone the other day and I was just like, yeah, I'm kind of limited only by my imagination now because I've done really difficult things for me and I've seen myself achieve those things. And now that I've achieved certain things that I used to think were impossible, man, nothing's impossible. Like, so the things that I have in my head now, if I were to tell you all of them, you'd be like, holy shit, what? But you know, that's kind of how I feel now, man. And I think, I also want to share that with other people. I'm like, I want other people to feel that, man. It's like, it's such a peaceful feeling to feel like you can do anything.
I can understand and appreciate how it's so difficult to articulate that feeling. But I can sort of understand what you're saying about you've broken through a barrier to become a new version of yourself where the limits are, you know, before it was like, oh my God, 100, you know, a marathon a day is like, oh, this is for like crazy people. And then you're like, oh, I'm one of those savages now. It's like, okay, now we can like, you know, we can blow this wide open. And like, what else is possible? What else is out there to be achieved? And how can we continue to like bring awareness to this and bring other people with us? Mm-hmm. One thing you spoke about in a podcast that I listened to was about sort of faking it until it feels good. And I don't know if those were the exact words that you used, but that's kind of how I interpreted the message. And the essence of what you were saying, and I kind of want you to just expand on this, is about when you start doing something difficult, something new, it sucks. It's hard. And that's, you know, partly the point. And one strategy that you spoke about was using, you know, faking it and be like pretending that you're fired up, pretending that you have energy. Like, don't walk into the office being like, ah, I'm gassed today, guys. Like, walk in there like, no, I'm full of energy, I'm fired up, like, let's go. How do you use that? How do you cultivate that? Because you genuinely feel tired, beat up, injured, sore you know, exhausted, whatever it is. And then you got to dig into yourself and just like fake it. How do you actually do that?
Mm. So a lot of bodybuilders probably listen to this podcast. Yeah.
Probably more fitness enthusiasts than bodybuilders, but
okay.
They'll get the analogies if you want to use that.
So when I used to compete, you know, you're hungry a lot because you're trying to get shredded, right? And you're in caloric deficit. I used to say, embrace the hunger.
Mm.
That hunger, embrace it. So fake it till you make it, or whatever term you want to use. I think what I mean by that is cognitive behavioral therapy, right? So Pavlov's dog's theory, whatever you want to say, right? So yeah, you know, when you're like, when it's outside and it's pissing rain or it's minus 10 or 20 and I got to go out for a 20K run, a few years ago, I'd be like, oh man, I got to go for a run. Okay. And you kind of lackadaisically kind of get together and do it, right? But what I started recognizing was that wasn't optimizing my time on the road. That wasn't optimizing the energy and the output of what I was doing from a performance perspective. And what I started doing was, even if I didn't believe it and I saw the weather was crappy outside, I would just say, awesome. I would just say it. Maybe 1,000 times, over 1,000 days. And eventually what happened was I started believing it.
Hmm.
So I started reframing the behavior for myself psychologically. So just reframing it over and over and over and over and over again, to the point now when it's not good outside, I'm like, yeah, bring it. Let's go. But it took me time to get here. And I think you can do that with anything. With anything that's a challenge for you to get up for. You just got to figure out how you do it. Like, I understand me as a person. I understand how I need to do things. Now, how I do things might be different for everyone else. I don't know. But as an individual, you have to understand who you are. And you have to understand how you get up for things and how you need to move yourself forward. I knew it wasn't an option. I had to do the things that I needed to do because my purpose is so much greater than myself. So it's not an option. I have to figure it out. So if I'm pissing and whining and all that kind of stuff, well, it's not going to happen. I got to figure out how to make it happen. So that's what the fake it till you make it, tell myself, reframe, and then over a period of time, it's not as challenging.
You reminded me of that. I'm sure you've seen it. I'm sure you've listened to him, but Jocko Willink has that one video. I think it's called Good. And it's just exactly what you were saying. Like, I don't remember the exact things that he says in the video, but it's like, you know, XYZ negative situation, good. Opportunity to get better, good. Opportunity to train harder, good. You'll be better prepared for the next time it comes up. And that's so important. But it's a hard mindset to establish in yourself. And I think it's great that you said that, hey, this works for me. This is how I do it. But everyone can't start there. Like, they're not at your level, right? They're not going to be there. Everyone's got to start where you are and then slowly build up those things. Like, even your plan, you can't start out to just run a marathon a day. We start with 10K, then we start, and then we kind of work our way up. But you've got to at least have some knowledge about what it is that you're trying to do so you can make that plan intelligently. And of course, you had the benefit to fitness and to understand that, hey, from not running since high school, I'm not just going to jump in and run a marathon a day. Like, this is a bad idea. This is going to lead to injury, whatever. It's not about who's the hardest. It's about, this is a poor idea, mm-hmm. right? Mm-hmm. And so you've got to make actual good plans. So that's another thing for people, that when you're trying to do something that you've never done before, like, you've got to reach out for help or some knowledge from someone just to give you the roadmap. Because the hardest thing to do when you're doing something new is that you don't even know what you don't know about the thing yet. And you're going to run into problems. You're like, I didn't even know that this was a possibility. I have no idea what to do. And then you're out of the game. So I think people tend to bite off more than they can chew sometimes as well in too short of a time frame.
No, you're right. And it all comes down to the person themselves, right? Like, what are they able to bite off and chew with, right? Like, maybe I can bite off more. I don't know, right? Maybe, or maybe, like, whatever it is. But you can, man, I started really small. I'm like, and it didn't even start with running. It started with making my bed, man.
Hmm.
Because what does that do? And look, we've all seen, you know, the speech by the Navy SEAL Admiral talking about make your bed, all that. Okay. Or if you haven't, go look it up. It's something you should do. But why I started doing that again was because I needed dopamine hits, man. I wasn't feeling good. right? So like I wasn't in the position to go run 5 or 10K to make myself feel good. Right. So how do you make yourself feel good? Man, the things that you control, take advantage, right? Things that you control, you, and we were talking earlier about like the mental health and how, you know, doctor, this, that, and the other, whatever, right? I believe we have an individual responsibility to control all the things that we can control. Outside of our control is a different thing, but we do control our sleep. We do control our food. We do control our athletics. We do control who we talk to. We do control all of those things. So if we can control those things and maximize and optimize them, the chances of you having any mental health issues goes down a bit. Now, if you still need to see a physician and all that kind of stuff, then yeah, go do your thing. But there's so many things we can do before we need to do that. I.e., I started making my bed, man. I started trying to organize things around my place. You know, things that would create a positive environment, a positive energy. Because man, like when you're not feeling good mentally, like everything's negative. Mm-hmm. Like you're so neurotic. And to find something, you're constant, like a lot of people are constantly in that victim mindset. Oh man, I can't catch a break. Oh, life sucks. Or whining. And you do that over and over and over again. It's contagious. Just like if you're around people who are super positive, that shit's contagious too. So, you know, I know it's hard for some people to think that way. But for me, what really helped was removing everyone from my life that weren't bringing positive energy or positive sort of elements. And as soon as I started having certain types of people around me, it became a little bit easier for me to engage in that positive mindset. So it's not a short road. At least for me, it's been a long road. It's been an intentional road that I've had to think about and be like, okay, I want to do this. Like if you're thinking about how I'm going to get outside and run and it's crappy out and you're not thinking about it and you just go, well, yeah, it's going to be 10 years of running outside and not being happy about it. But if you have intention behind it, how do I figure out how to enjoy this? And then figure it out.
You're 1,000,000% speaking my language here. Like this is all very stoic philosophy-esque where it's like, hey, there are things outside of our control, but we can't control them. So it's almost like let that go and control the things that you can. It's crappy weather outside. There's traffic. There's this, there's that. Yeah, we get frustrated about it. And I don't think any of us are totally immune to it. Like I definitely get pissed off at traffic and annoying things that happen. Fine. But I realize that like, hey, I can't actually control that. So what are the things that I can do in my life? And I'm very much, this is my fitness philosophy as well. It's like, what can we control? Let's do that. And then also let's start at the smallest thing. You say you want to get like, you know, lean and jacked and whatever. You haven't worked out in 5, 6, 7 years since high school. You're, you know, 30, 45, 50 pounds overweight. Well, we're not going to the gym 6 days a week and doing like a super strict diet. Like that's not the place where we need to start. Like the make your bed analogy for fitness is like, well, let's get up and go for a walk. Go for a walk, 10 minutes around the block, you know, enough to put the TikTok away for 10 minutes, go for a walk. Let's start there. Let me know how you feel. And then let's let that positivity build because you said it perfectly. Like the positivity builds up. You surround yourself with more positive people, more positive actions. It's not that making your bed is some magic thing or cleaning your room or that's not the magic. It's just that's the beginning of all the magic.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah. I agree 100%. Like, I mean, whatever it is for that individual, just try to find ways to create the positive dopamine hits. And that's what it is. That's why we're on our phone, get those dopamine hits. That's why we're doing, you know, eating some ice cream, get that dopamine hit. Right? Cool. I mean, I eat ice cream almost every single day, but I earn it.
Yeah. Yeah. It's different when you're, how much do you weigh?
Right now, I'm probably about a 180-ish.
So you're different when you're 180, very lean, like a lean 180 is a very different than a not lean 180. You get away with eating way more food than like, because 180, I thought you were heavier, but a person who's 180 is maybe like about average for maybe some people. And they're like, oh, I can eat ice cream every day. Like, no. Not if you're 37% body fat. That's a different thing.
Yeah, let's put things in perspective. I'm doing a lot, right? Like, so in terms of the caloric output, like I need a lot of food, man. And I'm on like a lower mileage output right now because I'm training to increase my speed. So my training blocks right now are about 70, 80 kilometers a week, but focused on increasing my 5K speed. Mm-hmm. So, you know, once another 2 weeks, I'm done this block, and then we're going to be shifting over into, okay, now we're ramping up 100, 150, 200 kilometers a week. So when you're hitting that kind of mileage, man, like, so here's a couple things that I'm thinking about. So when I'm running 60K a day for 52 days or running across Canada, I have to think in advance of how that's going to work performance-wise. Mm-hmm. I know I'm going to be burning at least 6,000, 7,000, 10,000 calories a day. So in order to do that over an extended period of time, I have to be able to eat constantly through those 2 months.
Yes.
Now, I'm not going to risk constantly eating at that time. I need to train my body now, months in advance, so that my gut can take on that food.
Right.
So, you know, it's not just, oh, I, you know, I'm hungry, I got to eat something. No, it's everything's, oh, how do I do this? How do I prepare my body? How do I eat the things that I want to eat and not have it harm me or cause extra inflammation? These are all things that I'm kind of testing out. So that's part of the reason why I'm also eating ice cream now, because I like ice cream and I know I can get a lot of calories out of it when, mm-hmm. if I need to. I'm eating chips every now and then, but when I was running across the province, man, I was burning for a marathon a day, yeah, like 6,000-7,000 calories. So we'll obviously be way more than that this year and then double that next year. But I was eating bags of chips, ice cream, cookies, monster cookies. Like I was doing the whole nine yards, man, because I couldn't, like I lost 15 pounds over those 22 days too. So wow. I mean, I was eating as much as I could and I lost 15 pounds.
Yeah.
So I mean, you can't, like you just can't.
At that level of output, like you have to just find ways to get calories in. And even if it's quote unquote unhealthy foods, and the value of them is that they're like the bad part about them for 99.9% of people is that they're so calorically dense. But in your case, that's exactly why you need it. Like a can of pop is perfect because like bunch of calories, bunch of sugar hits you fast and not going to fill you up, right? Maybe the carbonation might be a thing, you know, whatever. So you got to deal with that. But like juices and those things where it's like the opposite of all the advice that we tell to clients, like don't drink your calories, you know, stay away from the ice cream and the chips and because it's not going to make you feel full, but it's a lot of calories. Like it's complete opposite for you. Like you've got to find ways to fill yourself up. But again, you know, something I didn't even consider is that you've got to train your gut to be able to handle all that food, because it's a lot of food. Yeah. Like that would cause some serious problems if you just went from normal eating to all of a sudden intaking 7,000, 8,000, 10,000 calories a day every single day.
Yeah. So, I mean, yeah, man. So these are things I wouldn't have thought about had I not ran 22 marathons.
Right.
So when you push yourself in these sort of spaces, you have to start thinking outside of the box on how to perform better on them, right? And I'm just a beginner at this, man. You can get so nuanced and so granular on all of this that it's like you can get a degree in it. Yeah. Like just on properly consuming electrolytes and sodium, man, that's a science, man.
Yeah.
So and then depending on the weather, how much sodium do I need? What's my sweat rate? And what's my sweat rate when I'm running this mount? Like this is all shit that I'm like you got to test it out. So like last year when I was in my training block, every day I would weigh myself before the run and then after the run, see how much sweat I sweat and then do a calculation to see how much sodium I required. I mean, so it's not just getting out there and running, but it's getting out how to do it as best as I possibly can so I can continue running day after day after day.
Yeah. And eating like kind of consuming calories and taking care of yourself while you're doing the thing. Because it's not like this is not a 20 minute ordeal every day. Like this is the better part of the day every single day. I don't think I would anticipate that, you know, you're not going to be able to sit down and have too many meals. Maybe you'll sit down and have like one proper meal a day and the rest of it is going to kind of be like on the go, on the fly, gel packs, you know, bananas, cans of Coke, whatever it is, kind of as you're going. But there's not gonna be too many meals where you're gonna sit down and be like, all right, fork and knife, sit at a nice table, like dig into a steak. Like that's probably not really gonna happen all that often.
No, I was doing liquid nutrition for the marathons for the most part. Like I was consuming in and around 300 calories every hour, with about 400 or 500 milligrams of sodium, and then all my electrolytes in that. And then after my run, so let's say if I was running for 6-7 hours, let's just say. So in those six, seven hours, I'm having about 1500 calories. Okay, bro, I need another 5,000-6,000 after that.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So, you know, I got to be constantly eating by the, you know, and then I have to sleep at appropriate time. So how can I sleep when I'm full? I got to make sure that I get to bed at a certain time, because what's just as important is my recovery.
Mm-hmm.
I got to sleep, man. I need at least 8 hours if I'm going to be running that much. And for sure, at least 8 hours. So that also incorporates. So now let's say if I'm running for 8 and then I'm sleeping for 8, that gives me an 8-hour period of, you know, just to play with. So, you know, maybe I can get a little bit more sleep and maybe I can run a bit faster. Like, these are all things I'm kind of playing with right now to see what's best. So I'll probably dial that in a bit more in another month or so. I'm just really focused on the fundraising gala we got going on the 30th, which we can talk about as well. But yeah. So yeah, I can go on for hours just talking about the food, nutrition, how to keep moving, how to make it work.
Yeah. Talk about the fundraising gala. This episode will be out before that comes out, just slightly, but mm-hmm. but talk about it. That's coming up.
Yeah. So on the 30th of March, we're hosting a Night to Inspire. It's a TED Talk style evening with 9 guest speakers, all with subject matter expertise as it relates to mental health and their spaces that they've worked in. So it's not going to be all like negative. It's supposed to be a night to inspire. So we're going to have music. We're going to have catered dinner. It's going to be at the Sandman Hotel. We're already probably about just over halfway sold on tickets. So why we're doing this is to raise awareness and funds for the Honor House Society. It's a charity that I support. Supports all veterans, first responders, and emergency personnel with occupational stress injuries. And also to raise awareness for my initiatives of the things that I'm trying to do running across Canada, some other plans that I have to raise more awareness. I likely will be starting a nonprofit in the next little while, a charity myself, so that I can continue these fundraising mm-hmm. and generating way more money so we can start sending that to more people. But that's essentially the goal behind this. And man, the type of speakers we have, I tell you what, this is the first time an event like this is going to happen in Canada, because the type of people I got haven't spoken anywhere else because they're my friends.
Right.
Right. So we got Sean Taylor, who's a retired tier one operator from JTF2. Now, for your listeners who don't know JTF2, JTF2 is special operations equivalent to Delta Force, Green Berets, you know, this kind of stuff. And Sean is a plank holder. And a plank holder is the term given to these guys who were selected when the team was created. So he was one of the first guys on the team when it was created 30 years ago.
So they were looking at like, who's the badassest badass of all of these guys? And they chose him. Got it.
Basically, right? Basically. You know, it's so he's a buddy of mine. He's going to speak on mindset. And he's also been a performance coach for the last 20 years. He's a podcaster now. He was also an ultra endurance athlete himself. He was a world champion in 24-hour solo mountain bike racing. And he's coached elite athletes all over the world over the last 15 years. And he's got 6 world champions that he's coached himself. So he's going to be speaking, right? And then we got another guy, a buddy of mine named Seb Lavoie. He's a divisional sergeant major for the RCMP, retired. And he's also a performance coach, black belt in jiu-jitsu, hybrid athlete. He's inspirational in his own right. He was also a team leader for the ERT team in the Lower Mainland of Vancouver when he was with the RCMT. So the SWAT team, he was a team leader on the SWAT team. And a whole bunch of other people. We got Cal Desange, who's a CEO of Kids Play Foundation. It's an organization that helps kids get away from gangs and violence by giving them opportunities to volunteer and play sports. Julia Shelley, she's a retired UN flight attendant and fitness champion. She's going to be speaking about her perspectives, and a whole bunch of other people.
Former guest of the podcast as well.
Yes. Yeah. And so we have some really amazing people speaking. We have like, to get these types of speakers would probably cost $100,000. Like, I mean, for those people who are in the speaking space, like Sean Taylor can easily charge 10 to 15,000, right? Seb Lavoie is probably about 10 grand to speak at a public event. So these guys are doing it because we're friends, and the likelihood of, and look, you'll be first to hear it. I'm probably going to do it in the fall in Toronto.
Amazing.
So we're going to come to Toronto in the fall, and do one there. Maybe not all the same speakers, but the key speakers we'll have, and then we'll probably have some speakers from the Toronto area that are part of this community as well. And if that one goes well, which I suspect it will, we'll do one in Halifax. So we're going to plan to do 3 of these throughout the country, because we think it's really important that people are aware of some of the skills that these people have and some of their suggestions on how to manage their mental health. And it's never been done before. So let's see what happens.
Yeah, that's awesome. I mean, I will definitely be here I'd be in attendance when you do it in Toronto. But that's phenomenal. I think it goes without saying that mental health is more important than ever, and finding ways to deal with it and mixing fitness and the mental health. I think sometimes the fitness industry is, people say negative things like, oh, it's not just like the gym. The gym is not therapy. And it's like, no one is saying that that's what the thing is. We're just saying like, hey, this has helped us and thousands and millions of other people that we know. It's not the only thing, but it's a big thing. And so like, hey, it's here for you. We are here to give this back to you. We're not trying to profit off this. It's our job and whatever, but that's not like helping you get through your mental health. It's not the thing. They're like, hey, give me money so you feel better about yourself. Like that's not the thing. But it's a huge part, and we just need to keep getting it out there, because as many people, you know, fitness is a big wave now. It's more people are in the gyms than ever, but there's still so many people who are not. I just saw a stat the other day. Obesity has surpassed starvation as a malnutrition thing around the world. Like, there's lots of people in the world who are still starving, and that's obviously horrible. But obesity is the complete opposite. Like, that's not a food, like, lack of resource problem. That is a behavior and economic problem that is established. And so fitness, nutrition, mental health, it's all baked into that. And we just need to get this out there, like, as much as possible. And that's why I love doing the podcast and speaking to people like yourself.
No, I agree, man. And I think, look, I can speak for what I see out there. And I see a lot of people that are struggling, because mm-hmm. I've been traveling the country. I've been talking to a ton of people. And, you know, a lot of people could use some help, right? And, you know, what better way to help people, or at least throw our hat in there? You know, look, I've done a little bit of stuff, and I plan to do more things to improve myself, to become a better person. Why not share that with other people, right? Exactly. Because I had people help me when I needed help, and people gave me their time when I needed some people to lean on. And, you know, it's an obligation, I think, to do the same for others and not take, but give. Right. So it's got to be a two-way sort of synergistic benefit for everybody. You know, you help me, like, right now. Yeah, I'm on your podcast, but I'm getting just as much out of this as you are, because I look at it from a collaborative thing. Mm-hmm. We're working together to try to get a message out there that we both agree upon. And yeah, man, that's, I agree with you. I think that's the, you know, it'll probably start shifting over a few years. It doesn't happen overnight, but with consistency of effort over a period of time, you know, culture changes.
That's the thing. And I mean, this might be getting a little deep for some people, but what is the point of life if not for giving back and sharing and passing it on? Like, the genetic point of life is to pass on life and make sure that the biology continues to survive. But if we can think about that a little bit more, you know, spiritually, if you will, it's to pass it on, to learn, to give back. I've gone through this. You've gone through this. People have gone through things. And how do we help others kind of come up through this? And this is really how we do it.
100%, man. And that's what it's about. You're right. Give back is whenever you can. Look, my friend Sean was mentioning this some time ago when I was kind of talking to him for a while. And he made a really cool comment that really stuck with me, that really resonated. And he was saying, man, look, it's either you're helping or you're not. The degree in which you help is immaterial. So, you know, you can give someone $1 million, help them out, whatever, or you can give them an hour of your time. The energy is still the same.
Yeah.
So it's either you're helping or you're not.
Yeah. Yeah. That's powerful. And it could even be smaller scale. Like, mm-hmm. People will tell stories. I saw a story today, and it was a nutrition coach, whatever. And he said that he was out at lunch or something with his family. And I don't remember the exact phrase, but he said something to his daughter, something about patience. And his daughter is very young, under 10 years old, said something about patience. A guy who was sitting at a table next to him overheard the conversation and for whatever reason clicked in his head. And a year later, they bumped into each other again. And the guy said, hey, man, you go to such and such restaurant. You know, I wasn't eavesdropping your conversation, but I overheard what you were saying. And you mentioned something about patience. And it changed my life. I joined the gym. I'm down 40 pounds. I'm, you know, my marriage is doing well, like all these things. And it's like, that's how little it takes. And so now that was an unintentional thing, but that could be holding the door open for someone. like, you know, you go buy a coffee, you ask the person instead of like, you know, medium, double, double, thanks, see you later. It's how's it going? Hello, how are you today? You know, a simple thing like that. Man,
you
a simple
can hello, change,
a simple smile, simple something. This is how we change people's lives.
Absolutely, man. You can change the direction of someone's life within seconds.
Yep.
It happened to me, man. I was sitting down with Sean Taylor 3 years ago, had a coffee with this guy, met him for the first time. And after a 3-hour conversation, first time we're meeting, look where I am now.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, it you can change someone's life and the trajectory just with a conversation.
I 100% believe it. I think the take-home message from this aspect for people is you just need to start where you are, and you take conversations like this and from other people and from wherever inspiration you can, and you get inspired by these amazing things that people like yourself such are doing. But don't get intimidated by that. You don't need to go and run across Canada, because no one starts there. That's zero people's starting point. The starting point is make your bed, is go for a walk, is eat a vegetable, is drink another glass of water. Like, that is the starting point. And then you just let it build from there. And that's the practical way. I think people are always looking for, well, how do I do it? And I noticed myself earlier on kind of asking you, like, how? What is the step? What did you do? And it's like, but there's not a thing. There's no rule book. You can't just, oh, go buy this item at Walmart and then you're going to be good. Like, it doesn't work like that. It's just a small series of steps that builds on itself over time, and then you'll get wherever you want to go and beyond that.
Yeah, whatever you're meant to do, man. Like, it's that consistency of effort over a period of time. You mentioned 10 years before. Yeah, I put 10-year plans on things. I don't put a 1-year plan. You can't get anything done in a year.
Yeah.
But you can get a black belt in jiu-jitsu in 10. You can get a PhD. You can create an Olympic athlete, and you can create someone that could run across Canada and do a whole bunch of other things. So if you put the perspective of a grander 10-year project, man, you could do amazing things, not just for yourself, but for everyone around you. And that's what it's about.
I love that, man. I love it. Where can people find you? Where can people learn more? I'll put everything in the show notes, but let them know where they can find you.
My website, suchinmotion.ca, my IG at such.in.motion, YouTube, TikTok. I got the platforms. And yeah, man, just hit me up. If you're in the Vancouver area, you want to come to the gala, drop me a DM. We can get you some tickets. If you're in the Toronto area in the fall, just keep your eyes peeled for an event that's going to come in the Toronto area. And I would love to see a full house when we create that one. So I'll be hitting you up, man.
Absolutely. And I'll do my part to help spread it as well. Is there a website for the event, or should people just contact you directly to get
so we tickets? Have an
It'll
event
right in time, but yeah.
Yeah, we have an Eventbrite. There's a link on, so I can send you the link for the Eventbrite. Whereas people can go straight to the Eventbrite. Tickets are there. A little brief about who's going to be speaking there and all that kind of stuff, and then yeah, buy a ticket and join us.
Awesome. Sach, is there any last message that you want to leave the people with here in closing? This has been phenomenal for me personally, and I'm sure for everyone who's listening. But any last message you want to leave with people with here?
Well, first off, I want to say thanks for reaching out and having me on your podcast. And I enjoyed this conversation, man. Like, I like talking to cool people, so I appreciate it. And last few words, man, look, anything's possible. Don't limit yourself, man. Like, and I'm telling you from real-time experience, man, proof is in the pudding. So don't be scared of those goals. You know, set some of them. If you don't want to share them, don't share them, but keep striving forward, man. With consistency of effort, I promise you, you get to where you need to go.
Love it. Wonderful message. Thank you so much for being here. This has been a phenomenal conversation from our end as well. So thank you very much, everybody listening. Appreciate each and every one of you. Make sure you listen back to this podcast and send it to someone who matters. Send it to someone who matters, because you probably need to listen to this. But I guarantee that everyone listening to this knows someone, at least one person, who needs to hear something that was said in this episode. So send that along. Make sure you're following us. All the links to get in contact with Sach will be in the show notes. If you're in the Vancouver area, check out the event. This episode will be out second week of March-ish, and so March 30th. So you've got some time still to get tickets and get there. Toronto, we'll stay posted with that for the fall. And that's that. I appreciate you, Sutch. I appreciate each and every one of you for listening. Go outside. Be a good person. See you next time.